lot of ways, this is home for me. I mean, the Lord used Don Titus and a woman that's my wife and draw me here and save my soul. Baptized here and married here. And raised my kids here. Surrendered to preach here. Ordained here. So I have a lot of roots here. But the Lord planted me pretty good down there in the south too right now. I love it there. I love where the Lord has me now. And you know, I was telling our church, it's a blessing to know that you know in your heart where you are supposed to be is where you are. And that's where I feel I'm at. And the Lord has me there, and I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, we do appreciate the invitation and to preach and to come. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read first in Gospel of Mark. So if you want to turn there, I do want to thank the church. Obviously, we know we're part of conferences here for years. We know all the work that goes into it, and we appreciate all that. It's always good to see many of the old faces and new ones, and young men called to preach, and it seemed like it wasn't long ago I was one of those. But I do want to invite you to our conference, too, and it's just not too long away, April 19th, 20th, and 21st, same schedule as this, a Tuesday night through Thursday. And if you would like to come down and money is an issue and you think you can't afford a hotel room, we will take care of that for you. And we want you to come if you can come. So we also want you to pray for Enrique Cantu. He's a missionary out of our church. And the Lord brought him our way. It's kind of strange, you know, because he'd been around a long time. I've been around a long time. And I'd heard his name, and we never really knew each other. But the Lord put him there and knit our souls together. And you pray for, he has a burden for the Hispanic community. We have a large Hispanic community around Clarksville. There's a lot of, it's actually the fifth largest city, growing city, fastest growing city in the United States. They're building like crazy around there. And almost all the subcontractors that work everywhere are Hispanic in nature. And most of them don't speak any English. And Brother Enrique has a burden to reach out to those, as well as we have many migrant workers. We have lots of farms and tobacco farms and places around there, and they come up and work throughout the summer. And he's had a ministry witnessing to them. And the Lord is, I really believe the Lord is going to bless this ministry, because I'll tell you what, Satan has done all he can to hinder it, which tells me that, you know, there's something there that he is trying to stop. I mean, this COVID thing, and Brother Enrique is here on a R1 work visa. He is an engineer works in the automotive field and the engineering field of that. And he's willing to walk away from that to just be full-time missionary. Now, the problem is, if you're trying to do things law-abiding, it's difficult. In the United States, you know, I keep telling him, you just go back down there and just walk across and, you know, and ask for something. I don't know what you got to do, but it seems a lot simpler than what we're trying to go through to keep you here on a, you know, we're trying to get him on a religious visa as a church. Because right now on an R1 visa, he can only work for this corporation. He cannot actually receive any money. So any funds that we get just go to the expense of the mission work and not to his personal expense. And so he's willing to walk away from a six-figure plus job to just do mission work. And we're trying to do that. We're trying to get to that goal. So if you have any questions about that, pray for us, and we'll answer any questions we can about that. So if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 1, I remember years ago hearing Don Titus preach along these lines, and it almost just scared me to death in a lot of ways. You know, you talk about being scared to death, but I mean, it shook me to think about some of these things, being a new Christian in this church. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, the story of the maniac, Gadara, it's often called. It says in verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." Can you imagine somebody you could not chain up today? This man had power, physical strength beyond normal. "And because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He was basically out of control. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was a miserable man. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped. I find that interesting, don't you? And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now this is the demon speaking. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to Thee today. We thank Thee for the words that we've heard today and the words that we heard last evening, Lord. We do pray that You'd be with each one that speaks. And Brother Wilder, as he preaches after me today, and each one, Lord, that You would give them liberty to preach the things that would be needful in this time in which we live. Lord, we've already heard things that we need that are challenging to us and as Your people what no doubt are, I believe, the last days, Lord. Each day we get closer and closer to that day that You've appointed to return. Lord, we pray that You would strengthen Your churches, encourage people. We pray that You'd save souls. Lord, You'd add to the church. We might even see more called to the ministry, Lord. We pray that You'd be with us today. Help us to understand Your word. Help me, Lord, forgive me of my sins, Lord, that I might be able to proclaim Your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you think about this, you know, what is a legion? You know, his name was Legion. If you just looked up the definition of legion, it says anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 men. It's a pretty broad term, 3,000 to 6,000 men. So that's the number of a legion. You know, I always heard about the foreign legion and these kind of things when I was growing up. But a legion as far as a number. So there were many demons inside of this man, tormenting him, giving him great power and abilities too, it seems. But this, you know, if you just look at it and say, okay, there were 2,000 swine, I believe there probably was at least 2,000 demons maybe in this man. And so when you think about how many demons were in just one man in this world, and I think about that and I think, how many demons are in this world? This is the thought that years ago, Don Titus, when he talked about all the demons, and he said, you know, if we could just see them. He said, if you could see all the demons that are around, you'd be scared to death to even leave this building. And I thought, that's scary. They're here. You know, it tells us that when Satan was cast out of heaven, the Lord said he saw him like a bolt of lightning cast out. Look with me over in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew." Now, obviously, we're talking about the figure's picture of a dragon and a tail, you know. But, you know, when we talk about politics, what do they talk about when someone, you know, like the president has long coattails, you know, that he can take a lot of people, get a lot of people with him elected? You know, they talk about the tails or the influence. The influence or the power of that seat. Well, Satan had such tremendous influence, even in heaven, that it says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." I believe that when Satan was cast out, that he took with him a third part of the angels of heaven were cast out. They're in this earth. He says, the third part of the stars of heaven, did he cast them to the earth? I believe these are the demons that we see in Scripture. These are the demons that we saw in Legion. And one thing that's great about the fact, there's no demon, devil, that is omnipresent. You know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, that they don't have that ability to be more in one place at one time. And you can see that even in this story where they cast us into the swine. Put us in there. They wanted a place to go. They wanted a place to go. And so that's Satan, what it tells us, when he went to present himself before the Lord, and to consider Job, but he said, what was he doing? Walking to and fro in this earth. Satan's not in hell. He knows that's where he's going, and that's where this demon, these legions, they knew. They immediately fell at Jesus' feet and worshipped and begged that their end wouldn't be then, that they wouldn't be cast in then. You know, it tells us in Matthew, it says, and he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and all his followers. All those that went with him. God is going to prepare that lake of fire. I just preached on it. I don't really think that lake of fire exists yet myself. I don't know. I don't know everything about that kind of stuff. But I do know that there is a hell right now. There's a place of torment right now. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there is a lake of fire that it talks about in the book of Revelations, where the devil and his angels. And so Legion feared this judgment. He feared this judgment that when he saw Christ, he feared being cast into this place or being a place of torment. And so let me ask you a question when you think about Legion. Are there any less today than there was in Christ's time? No. There isn't any less today. There's just as many. There's just as many that there was at the time of Legion. Where are they? They are walking to and fro in this earth. They're walking to and fro in this earth. And they cause this man great trials and troubles. And they're there to do the same with us, if they can, to cause us great trial and trouble and tribulation. Now, look with me at a verse over in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we know the story of Saul when he went out to battle against Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he was told not to take any spoils back, right? Samuel said, you destroy everything. But Saul didn't obey, did he? He just, he wanted to trophy Agag back in there and bring him back. And he took all the best of the animals and gave the excuse, well, we want to make sacrifice. And then he ultimately blames it on the people. Well, it wasn't me, the people did it. And then he finally confessed. But because of his sin, God chose to have Samuel ordain another king. And then it tells us there, after all this, after Samuel anointed David to be the next king, it says in verse 14 of 1 Samuel 16, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. From the Lord troubled him. That's kind of a confusing verse because, it says an evil spirit from the Lord. Well, first of all, they're all angels, either fallen angels or angels that God created, right? They all are. I mean, a lot of people confuse a lot of people when they just, you can ask them a question sometimes when they go, who created Satan? God did. You think about the sovereignty of God. God knew when he created Satan, everything Satan was going to do, didn't he? That's God's business. I can't explain that or begin to understand. But God created Satan. He created hell. He created all these demons. He created everything. And God understood that. And he allowed this evil spirit to trouble Saul. He allowed this to happen. And so, my thought here for you today is, have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said? Or done something that you wish you hadn't done? Thought about it later and said, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm certain anybody in this room can say, yes, I have. If you've lived any length of time in your life at all, you've said something, done something that you say, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, let me ask you a question. What influenced you to do that? Wasn't the Holy Spirit, was it? There are demons there that are always trying to get us to say and to do things. So can I be used and influenced? Yes. I cannot be possessed. I want you to see that Saul was not possessed. It very specifically that says that Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. And this is the thing that, when Brother Don Titus preached years ago about being possessed of the Holy Spirit, you can't be possessed by a demonic spirit. I can still, though, be used and influenced. Each one of us can. In fact, Peter was. Peter, not long after he walked on the water, look with me over in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, now Peter just said, "Lord, if it be you, let me come out of the boat. Let me come to you." And he walked on the water and was, until he looked at the wind that was boisterous and took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink and cried out, "The Lord, save him." But this is not just maybe a few days or maybe a week or so. I don't know how long this is after in time frame. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." I mean, he begins to lay it right out for him and say, "Look, I got to go to Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to suffer. The chief priests are, you know, they're going to have me, and I'm going to be killed." But he tells them too, "I'm going to come back 3 days later." And then Peter, who had walked on the water with, who'd been saved by him, who had been with the Lord since the very beginning, and who had been taught by the Lord, took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." I mean, it's almost like Peter went over and grabs the Lord and takes him and says, "Look, we've got to talk. This isn't going to happen to you." Who's influencing Peter? Look at this, what it says. "And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Satan knows that that's one of the things that his prime objective is to get us to savor the things of this world more than the things of God. You know, if you think, here, Satan is not night present. So he had to be there. The Lord addresses him by name. It is Satan right there tempting the Lord. And he's using Peter to do it. He's using Peter to try and cause him to say, you shouldn't do this. You know, I was thinking about the message today. I was thinking about, you know, thinking about Abraham. Man, I would have had a hard time even packing up to go. And I wouldn't have left my two men who were able to stop me when I'm almost 100 plus years old to go up that mountain. I would have taken them and relied, maybe that was my backup plan, that they would see this crazy old man's going to kill his kid and stop me. But you know, all the things that the devil probably did throw at Abraham to say, "Don't do this." Or one of his demons. But you think about the power that Satan had as the influence to take one third of the angels of heaven, and we think that we can go up against him without the Holy Spirit? I wouldn't want it. I don't know if I've ever had Satan himself try to tempt me, but I know his demons have. But even that is a strong, strong temptation many times to do things we ought not. Satan can use, and how does he do this? Stupid carnal mind. "Lord, save my soul, but you know what? I still got this flesh." Even Paul talked about it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But he uses our mind to cause a lot of children of God to say and do things that we ought not. He was using Peter. He was using Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, in the first church at Jerusalem, and he's using him. And the blessing is that Peter was not possessed. He was just being influenced. Influenced. These demons do not have the power over the Holy Spirit. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you." Now, we don't have any strength. Don't think for a moment you have any strength. But the Holy Spirit that dwells in you as a child of God is stronger and greater than any of those demons that try to influence you or persuade you. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, I love that, you know, I always like, because I'm kind of old school, but it's hard not to turn over in Ephesians chapter 1 and read this. Because I love what it says here, the account. I'll get there in a minute. Because I've done a lot of buying and selling of things in my life. And, you know, if you go buy a car, I've bought a lot of cars. Bought a lot of cars in my life. And normally I don't show up with all the cash. Normally I don't have all the cash, to be honest with you. Sometimes it's just I got to figure out how to get the cash. But you go to somebody and you say, you make an agreement. You say, I'll buy this car. And, you know, the old term was you'd shake hands, you'd shake on it, you know. And what did you do? You give them what? Some money down, right? Say you're buying a car for $5,000. You say, well, I'll give you $500 to hold it for me till I come back on next Tuesday, you know, and I'll come back with the rest of it. You know, that tells us that in this Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in verse 13, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit enters into you. And it is that Holy Spirit of promise of His return. And then it says here, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what they used to call that down payment? Earnest money. They used to call it earnest money. I'll give you some earnest money, show you that I'm earnest, I'm sincere, I'm coming back, and I will pay the full amount. That's the same thing the Lord did when He saved my soul. The Holy Spirit entered in, and it's that earnest that He says, you're one of mine, and I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you. And you see, as a child of God, you don't have to fear about being possessed. But you do have to be worried about being troubled, like Saul was. Saul was. You look at what it says over, and you think about being tormented and troubled. Saul was a sad man. I mean, you know, he even asked Jesse, let David come and play for me. And then when he did, it made him happy again. It made him happy. That evil spirit, it says, departed from him. It wasn't in him, but around him and influencing him and depressing him. I'll tell you what, it can sadden you. It can cause depression and anxiety, fear, worry, all these kind of things. You know, and you have to understand, I'll tell you what, I think even so, you know, which it talks about so much more as you see the day approaching. I mean, can we not see the day approaching? You look at our world today, you look at everything that's going on, and you just say, oh my, you know. We can't even answer a question about what a woman is. I mean, it's just, where are we at, you know? I mean, they talk about following the science. There's only male and female. I mean, see it in all creatures of the world. But, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the devil, you think about it, he drew a third part of heaven with him. He influenced that many God-created beings to say, come with me. And then at verse 12, you know, I wrestled in high school. It's probably why I got a bad back. Probably why I'm leaning on this pulpit. My wife gets mad at me because I don't stand up straight. But you know what? I wrestled a lot of other guys. But I didn't wrestle against demons. But it says here, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where were the high places in Jesus' time that were going to arrest him and have him crucified? It was the high priest. You talk about high places, you can't get much higher than that in Jesus' day than Caiaphas and those that were the high priest, right? But you look at our world today in our government that is in such strong power in this country and look what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and you think about the spiritual wickedness that's probably behind motivating Putin, I guess is how they say it. And I always said Putin, but it's Putin or whatever. But what's influencing that man? Maybe he's possessed. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you look at some of these, I look at Kenneth Copeland on TV, I can't even hardly watch the guy because I look at him and go, man, that guy's got to be possessed. But, you know, in order to say things like he did to tell people when they lost their jobs on for COVID, you keep sending your money to me. And the guy's got almost $800 million. I mean, the man's something wrong. But you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirit, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And that's what my pastor was saying, if we could see them. If you could just walk outside and you could see them everywhere that are wanting to influence you and trouble you and cause you, you'd be scared. You wouldn't want to leave this building. You'd be hunkered down saying, let's just pray and not leave. That's true. And he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in what? The evil day. Are we not there? I mean, I used to hear things, and I mean, homosexuality was always part of my life. I knew somebody, you know, but it was kind of quiet. Well, it isn't quiet anymore, is it? And they're not satisfied with just being able to marry, are they? They're not satisfied until they're controlling whether your children can pick whether they are a boy or a girl in kindergarten. I mean, that's where we're at. They're never going to be satisfied. These demons are never going to be satisfied. But even Paul, you know, Paul talked about his own flesh. Paul said, I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. He said, it's there. And we got to recognize that. We got to recognize that. Saul had this evil spirit that tormented him. And I believe that it says the spirit of the Lord had departed. And I think when you get away from God, that leadership, you can't find it. You can't pray. You can't. The Lord's not going to answer your prayers and speak. You're not going to have that kind of fellowship. You lose that fellowship. And that, I don't know about you, but I don't think Saul was lost. I don't think Samson was lost. Because Samson, after he had his hair cut, it said he wist not that the Spirit had departed him, right? But yet God used him. But you know what happened with Saul? It said that the evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 19, this is my reasoning. You can tell me something if you want, but Saul, but I just believe that God saves, God chose, and God says, I'll no wise cast out. You can get away from him. You can die away from the Lord. You know, it can happen that way. Miserable way to go, as far as I'm concerned, not be right with the Lord. But here it says in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 28, it says, moreover, the Lord also deliver Israel with thee into the hands. He's talking to Saul and about the battle that's to come and his sons. Going to deliver you basically into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou shalt and thy sons be with me. That's Samuel who the witch had Endor had conjured up. Where was Samuel? Where were all the Old Testament saints? Paradise. And so Samuel's saying, you know what? You're going to be dead tomorrow. You're going to be with me tomorrow. So I think that's what the Lord or Samuel was saying to him. So I believe that Satan well knows that he can't get the souls of God's people. But he does want to do as much damage as he possibly can to keep and hinder the work of the Lord. You think about the fact that I believe that he puts his demons, you know, I'm thankful that I believe we have guardian angels. I really do. And I think they're there to help us in every way we can, because we're not strong enough to fight these demons off. But the Holy Spirit that dwells in us is. Yes, he can trouble their thoughts and cause me at times to say things I should not. Saul was not possessed. It says that he was troubled by an evil spirit. And again, as I said, how does he do that? Mostly through our own thoughts. And you think about this. You know, have you ever thought about just quitting? I think about every pastor and sometimes said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. And I think it was Brother Jackman talked about some that took their own life, and we've seen that. Some commit suicide. Things happen. What is it that's doing that? That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. What spirit is it? Have you ever had another church member hurt you, discourage you? Another pastor discourage you? I've had that happen. I had a pastor tell me once, you're never going to pastor a church believing what you believe. I thought, wow, that's encouraging, you know. But you could have a family member hurt you. You can have I worked 40 years for Farmers Insurance, almost anyway. And I'll tell you what, I had some bosses that I just wanted to quit. I had some discouraging times. You can have a lot of discouraging times that you just want to quit. When it comes to spiritual things, it's not the Spirit of God that's telling you to give up and quit. You need to recognize what spirit that is. It's troubling you. And yeah, I just have a neighbor. I tell you, I live not too far from where Glenda lives, my house, and I had a neighbor, and he had a dog. And for some reason, he tied that dog right by my window, my bedroom window. So I'd hear that dog yip all night long. And he let that dog out. When he let the dog out, and the dog could come run around the fence and do all his business in my yard. Boy, it made me mad. And I was a new Christian, you know. And I'm trying to be Christ-like. But one day out there, and all the snow was melting, and all I could see was all these all over my front yard. And I'm like, so I got out there with a shovel, and I started pitch these over the fence where they go. And then the devil really got a hold of me. And then they started landing on his car, you know. But I can tell you, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that was telling me to do that. Now, I know I was saved, but I was in the flesh, and it felt good, you know. But, I mean, that's what I was doing. But, you know, you can have all sorts of things. Neighbors make you mad. You can have your spouse make you mad. You can have your spouse leave you. You can have children forsake you. You know, I spent about a year and a half almost with Mark Titus going to chemotherapy treatments 2 or 3 times a month, all day long, and to Nashville, to Vanderbilt. And Mark had his moments where he would just get in the flesh and he would say, why me? And then it wouldn't be just a few minutes later and he'd say, why not me? We can all have our moments where that evil spirit troubles you. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail you of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. And I'll tell you what, that's what the devil's trying to do. Just plant enough in there to just get you to just let that just grow and take hold where you cannot let go of something where somebody's wronged you. Let it go. I've had a lot of hurtful things in my life, you know. I mean, you think about, you know, wanting to give up, wanting to take your own life. Yeah, I've been there. I'm not going to tell you I haven't been there. I've got that point where I thought, that's the way out, man. I know where I'm going. I'll just end it. Or where I think, you know what, better yet, I'll end them. You know, I've been there. But that's not the Spirit of God. But praise God for His guiding grace and mercy. He wouldn't let me. Wouldn't let me do those things. I may still suffer influence. I know I deal with it every day. But you know what, we have the power to recognize it for who and what it is, that it's not the Spirit of God. In fact, look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil's on this earth. He's walking to and fro. That's what he said. He's got all his one-third of heaven demons out there doing his bidding. And in verse 5 it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that's who we're, you know, he is our adversary. He is against God's people. He's not, you know, you think he's spending his time worrying about those that are serving him? Why does he care about them? He doesn't, really. I mean, I think he's after God's people. He's our adversary. He says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, you got to be awake and aware. Because he is our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then it says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. You know what? You're not the first. You won't be the last. You won't be the first one that says, you got cancer. You won't be the first one that child abandons you and just doesn't talk to you. I had a man, I preached his funeral in West Milton of his brother. Brother was, I don't know, probably a little older than me. And one of his sons hadn't talked to him in 20 plus years. Walked into the funeral home, walked up to, long hair, looked like he got off his Harley outside, and just, I'm thinking, boy, you're a throwback out of the 60s. And he walks up there, takes a letter out of his pocket and stuck it in the casket and walked out and left. And I thought, he's not going to read that letter. That may make you feel good somehow, but you got to live with the fact that your dad died and you never talked to him in the last 20, 25 years or whatever. But, people do stupid stuff. But you think about the hurt that people live with. You're not the first one. You're not the first one that's had that kind of a temptation or a trial. In fact, in Corinthians, we should know this. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above, not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know what? A lot of people had to bear things for their whole life. God will give you the strength. What temptation? What is temptation? It's nothing more, really, when you think of it, troubling of an evil spirit. Recognize it. The Bible says to try the spirits. I know that's talking about false prophets, but I'll tell you what, you can just ask that little voice inside your mind, who's this talking to me? Who's this that's influencing me? In 2 Peter, we're reading in Peter here a lot today, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, talks about Lot in verse 7. It says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And it says in verse 8, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And then it says in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. God knows how to deliver. And reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I've been trying to even tell my wife, when I recognize, when I start saying something, when I get my stinking thinking going on, and it starts coming out my mouth, and I start saying, and then I come to that point and I say, you know what? I'm not going to let that evil spirit rob me anymore. We need to start saying, like the Lord turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me. Get that thing away from me. Get away from me. In fact, the Bible talks about in Proverbs, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. I don't think those demons, they're just working all the time, are they not? And work all the time through television, internet, these phones. Everything you see and hear today, your kids are being bombarded with it. We are being bombarded with all the wickedness of this world. It's good to come to a conference, isn't it? Get away. Get away. Get away from those things. Spend some time in church. Off our phones. Get together with somebody and you're all sitting around just... It's sad, isn't it? And what's on them? Really not much good, is there? James, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. I want to get to my last point. We need to recognize, it says, resist him, he'll flee from you. But you might not be able to do that today. In the story of, look back in Mark chapter 5 real quick there. Mark chapter 5. We didn't finish reading. In verse 14, it says, they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done They said, "We can't believe what's happening to that maniac up there in the hills. Jesus Christ just cast out the demons into these swine." And they run and they tell everybody. And then it says there, and it says, "And they come to Jesus to see him that was, I love that, was possessed, not just troubled, but possessed, was possessed of the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." I mean, this man was saved, and the Holy Spirit entered into him. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And he wanted to be with Jesus. You know what? That's what happens. There's a change. There's a change. And the Holy Spirit entered him. You know, it tells us about the over in Acts, and I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but it talks about the woman, the damsel that followed, that had the spirit of divination. And she was saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." It grieved Paul. Paul turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her the same hour. That demon that was in her left. Never tells us that the Holy Spirit entered into her. I don't know what happened to her. It doesn't say. But this brings me to my last point, which Don Titus years ago talked about. Is your house empty? That's a dangerous place to be. Look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, that's what happened to the maniac at Gadara. That's what happened to the damsel that had the possessed demon in her that was possessing her. They were cast out. But the difference was, we know the maniac at Gadara, that the Holy Spirit entered in. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And he saith, "I will return into mine house from whence I came out." And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And a lot of people today think, you know what, I'll just turn over a new leaf. Your house is empty. You may go in there and sweep it up, and you may sweep some of the things out. You may say, you know what, I'll quit drinking, I'll quit cheating on my wife or my husband, or I'll quit doing this, I'll quit doing that. So you're just cleaning it out, making more room. That's really what I think. And it says, and he then goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So my words to you, if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, is don't be found empty. You need to have that earnest payment. You need to know that he's coming back for you, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And if you're here and you're saved and you struggle like I do with this old flesh, don't put the dog poop on your neighbor's car. But call upon Christ and say, "Lord, help me with this. Don't let this spirit trouble me anymore. I don't want to be influenced. I don't want to be used. I don't want to have that unrest and the fears and the anxieties and the heartache that goes along with this. Whatever it is that causes you sorrow and pain, cast it aside. Recognize, call on the Spirit that's more powerful in you and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to think that way. Help me to be more understanding, more loving. Recognize that Spirit for who and what it is. Submit yourselves, therefore, under God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, David lost his joy. David never lost his salvation. But David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," because that spirit had robbed him of that. Oh, we got to be careful. The demons are out there all the time trying to just rob us of our joy. Rob us of that wonderful joy of our salvation. Do you have that? You know, Brother Jones used to always say, you know, "Remember when the Lord first saved you?" I love that. Because I'll tell you what, that could take me back real quick and make me rejoice in the fact that the Lord saved my soul. Do you know that today? Brother Matt.